Today, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to finish up Sefer Mishlei. Okay, what we're going to do is first going to the Rashis. At the very end of Sefer Mishlei, we have a series of Rashis. These Rashis are reinterpreting the last perek from the perspective that Eishes Chayim is a marshal for the Torah. And the one who is speaking is the Torah, and all the various brachos and the different midos all relate to a person who studies and embraces the Torah. So let's see these Rashi. When we finish these Rashi, I have a couple of other things I want to share with you. And then Amir Tashem will plan, we'll make a siyum, not right away, we'll make it Amir Tashem on a Friday. We have to figure out a Friday that is good for everyone, maybe before Shavuos, maybe after Shavuos. We'll plan ahead. But let's first go to the Rashis, the last Rashis. It's the very, very end after Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It starts again with Pasuk Yud. At least that's what I have in my edition. Is that what you have in your edition? Eish Eschayil. What is Eish Eschayil according to the second version? Hi HaTorah. Everything is a reference to the Torah HaKadosha. Mi Yimsa. Ashrei HaZoicha Limtzai Oisa. Fortunate, praiseworthy is a person who is able to acquire, have a chelek in the Torah. We mispal every single day. V'sen chalkeinu v'sarasecha. After Shimon Esrei, we have a very unique bracha, Birchas HaShachar, where we will mispalel the Harevna. That not only should we be zoicha to Torah, but it should be sweet, it should be pleasant, fortunate and praiseworthy the person who finds it. Mipnimim, Margolios, it's more precious than pearls. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shalol Lo Yechzar, a person who embraces Torah will not be lacking Shalol, spoils. Oichel, what does that mean? So here is the beautiful Medrash, Oichel Peros Bel Mazeh, Uva Oilam Haba. Okay, interesting, Rashi says the Peros in the Olam Haba, we always assume that Oichel, we say in the Mishnah, the Karen Kayemes Loy Olam Haba. I do not know if Rashi is just being Makatsa, or maybe he means it seriously, and he's alluding to a different Medrash, but it says a person will leave the Shalom, the spoils of success in Talmud Torah is the Peros in this world and in the next world. Pasuk Yud Gimel. When we say the Karen, when we say the Peros in Olam Hazevia, Karen Kayemes Loy Olam Haba, and Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam. So when it comes to Talmud Torah, it's the Karen is Olam Haba. Here Rashi, maybe it's just Mekat, so he says that the Peros are also the Olam Haba. Pasuk Yud Gimel Darshat Samu Pishtim Lefishim Shila Leisha. Since the Torah is being compared to an Isha, therefore the different expressions used in these 22 psukim allude to an Isha. Diber Lefi Hamalitza. So we gave various expressions. Kitzorche Meleches Hanoshim, like women are accustomed to. The Amoshul Kachi Hu. This is the Moshul. The Resha Satara Mikra Mishnah Medrash, that the Torah, the Talmud Chacham, the Resha Satara, the Torah itself is expounded through Mikra, Mishnah, Medrash, and Medrash, Umachazere Sachadayem, Shehem Tsorche HaTalmidim, and the Torah. Machazeres searches and goes around after which because these things are all for the needs of the Talmidim. Torah is expansive. This Torah.
Shot that Machazeres are able to do Chazara because that's basic need of the Talmidim.
It seems that the Torah is speaking. It seems that the Torah is saying that it allowed itself to expand in various forms. Some Talmidim are more successful in Tanakh. Some Talmidim do better in Talmud. Some do better in Halacha. Some do better in Agada. No, it's no such thing as one size fits all. Every type in the Gemara, we have different Amoraim, Tanoim, or Bikiyim. Their expertise was in Bikias. They knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And their other Talmidei Chachamim, their expertise was in Pilpul, in Amkos. And generally, you can't have it all. If your specialty is in one area, it naturally causes you to be lacking in another area. Because different people have different natures, needs. And everyone, so here it seems that the Torah wants everyone to have a chelik in it, and therefore the Torah expanded itself to various forms so everyone can find something that they can delve into and they can devote themselves. Dereshes HaTorah, the Torah is Dereshes, I think here it means it expands itself. It goes out in Mikra, Mishnah, Medrash, Umachazeres Acharehem, and the Torah allows itself to be expanded so everyone can find a place in Torah Shehem Tzarchei HaTalmidim, because these are the needs, everyone has a different need. Pasuk Yedal, Chayisa Koniyah Shoichem Eviyehi Lulamdecha Baruch HaUmazen. The Zuchus of Torah provides Parnasa. Chazal say anyone that devotes himself to the study of Torah, he is guaranteed that Kodesh Baruch Hu will look after his needs, will have Parnasa. Pasuk Tes Vav, Vatoka Mo Laila Mashkimu Ba'ashmores. This refers to the people who study Torah, or the Torah demands that you wake up early in the morning to learn Torah. Vatitein Teref Levesa Shoyne Harav L'Talmidim HaChoyk HaKotzuv Lohem. Teref means that the Rebbe, the Torah demands, the Rebbe who's now being given over to the Rebbe, the Rebbe has to provide the proper measure for the students day by day. Zamama Sada Vatiko Cheha. Zama, so here the Rashi is telling us, don't read it to mean plan. We translate it Sadeha. We don't translate it to mean plan, as we did when we learned the Pasuk Al Derech Pshat. But here, Zamama means a muzzle. A muzzle. Now, what is it coming to muzzle? It's going to protect us from the Umos Ha'olam, from Esa, from Edom, which are jealous that we have the bracha for Kodesh Baruch Hu. The zuchus of Torah is megen from our enemies. Zamama, Zamam uveresen, two different words which mean the same thing, a muzzle, as Esav, Ish Hasadeh, Vatikochehu, and it takes him out of this world. He destroys Esav, the Zechus HaTorah, Min Ha'olam Leha Avido, to destroy our enemies. Mipri Ma'asecha Noto Chorem, from the fruits of its good deeds, she planted, what? Kapecha, from the fruits of her good deeds, Mipri Kapecha Noto Chorem, Yisrael, not a karma, Yisrael l'kayimam l'chayei ha'olam haba, from the fruits of ma'asecha, its actions, its deeds, what the Torah commands us to do, we plant a vineyard, referring to olam haba. The kerem is a mashal for olam haba, Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a garden. In a garden, there are vines. There's a vineyard in the garden. Pasuk Yitches ta'ameha, Dibura, its words. Okay, this is Pasuk, just I'm getting a little confused, but back to Pasuk, the Ois test, which is Toama, Kitoiv Sachra, it tasted. Dibura, its words, the words of Torah. Lo Yichbe Balayla Neira, Belel Ksiv, this Pasuk is the only other place besides Lel Shimurim, where Laila is spelled without a hey. Belel Ksiv, Chasra hey. Belel Shimurim, Nakfu Hamitzriim, Hi'iro Li Yisrael, Vihigina Alehem. The Torah protected, this is a very interesting Rashi. Rashi is telling us that what did Klal Yisrael, what Zuchus did they have to protect him from the Magefa, from the Mashchis, Flayitin HaMashchis, Lavo El Botechem Lingoif. So it says here it was the Zuchus of the Torah. That's not what we normally assume. We normally assume it's the Dam Pesach, V'avar Lech V'erich Mispaseses B'damayich. Two types of blood, Dam Mila, Dam Pesach. But L'choy, what Rashi's learned to is that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Tavdunes Elokim Alohor Hazeh. The goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim was ultimately to be Mekabel the Torah. So therefore, the Torah also contributed to protecting Klal Yisrael in the night. Lo yichbe b'alayla neira, the Lel Shimurim, the Torah, the zechus of the Torah did not go out. It was there to protect us. Pasuk Yites b'kishar, this woman, she sends forth her hands. Torah sends forth b'kishar, which we learned about her pshat. It means a tool that's used to spin linen. So here it says b'kishar, b'kishar in ma'aseha, like we explain, like since the drush of Yoel. The Kishon Masecha means good deeds. Torah demands from us that we perform good deeds. Tamchu Polech, Mishon Umishene Umishana Umashena, support. Torah is a support. Tamchu Polech Kimo Machazik Ba Polech, to hold on the word. Tamchu means to support. Torah is our support. I'm not sure more of this. kapa parsol leani. So what is leni shenesim atzmai olecha kaani bo he miskayemes? Okay, this is a very important medrash. The medrash says that Torah only is retained in a person who was humble, who makes himself like an ani and always claims ignorance and always is looking to accomplish and acquire more Torah. In such a person, the Torah will be found. Lo sira lebeisa mishalek shedanin boy harishom eish me'esh l'shelek. Torah protects a person from Gehenim. As we mentioned yesterday, there are two types of Gehenim. There's a Gehenim called Eish, and there's a Gehenim called Shelek, cold from cold to hot, hot to cold, and therefore Torah protects from these two things, Me'esh l'Shelek. Levushanim, Beris Dam Umila. Why does Torah protect? Because Kol Boneha, all of her children are wearing shanim. Don't read it shanim, which means scarlet, red garments, but rather read it shenayim. What are the two mitzvahs? Bris dam mila. So here, I jumped ahead. First it says shanim means red. What's the red? In the zuchus of mila, which is the color of red, we are protected from the gehenim of esh and shelek. Dover acher, malbushim bekofel. It says shnayim. Shnayim here means double. And here Rashi lists a few of the mitzvos that are given to us with a double expression. For example, tzedakah, noson titein, pasoach tiftach, a play on the word twice. Hanek tanik, when a servant goes free, you have to give him severance package. And it's described in the word hanek tanik. Kol elu matzilun oisoy mishele gehenim, all of the mitzvos that are given to us in a double form, mainly the ones that he has quoted here, all three examples of tzedakah, given a double form, these are mitzvos which protect a person from gehenim. Kachu nidrash betanchumba. In the Medrash, elaborates that there are other mitzvahs which are also given in double, for example, bris mila. Because as we learned, bris mila has two parts, mila and periya. Two parts. And all some say talis and tefillin. First of all, tefillin itself, there are two parts. There's a tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Some learn that the talis and the tefillin are a pair. The talis matches the tefillin matches the talis. All mitzvos, which are given in terms of shnayim, protect the person from the eish gehenim and the gehenim of shelek. Sadin asesa, levush teferes nesenes lachachamim. The Torah, yeah. Oh, so well, that's really four. There, you want to say this? You hold it to different hands. In a chanami, so not just right. The Rashi over here is only giving examples of tzedakah where the words itself nasol titein hanek tanik pasach tiftach. But the Medrash elaborates in a chanami. They give other examples. The ones that I mentioned. They didn't say your example of lulav and esrog. There are two different parts. You have the three on one side and one on the other side. In a chanami, that maybe can be read into the Medrash. Sadin osesa, person that is a talmud chacham is kavod. He gets levush teferes nesenes lachachamim, a garment of splendor. Either means in this world or in the next world. The chagor nosna lakanani lefishu chagor bis choyrasa nesenes ezer lemosnem, because she is chagor. She is girded in her merchandise. It gives strength l'masnehem to their loins. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I don't know more than the translation. To the waist. I'm not sure more than the translation what this means. Pasuk chafei liyoy strengthens you.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay, you're ready to go out. You're a soldier. You're all ready to go.
She's giving aizer to masnehem, the people who are learning them. Everything here is Torah.
Because she's girded, because they're dressed in Torah, so they have strength. They have strength, they're ready to accomplish, they're ready to go out and conquer the world. Ein lochem lisat save mimidas hadin. A Talmud Chacham need not worry about the midas hadin. Ki yinotzlu mimenu, he will be spared from midas hadin. V'chol yimei chayim yischaku liyom hadin, they will laugh at the yom hadin, meaning they're not afraid of it. It does not bother them. Mish ein etzoch lidoig noifel b'davar lashon tzchoik. Rashi here is telling us something very important. A person does not need to worry. There's many expressions for happiness. There's simcha. There's sasain. There is. Gil, the old and many, but here he says the word tzichoik means a person that does not need to worry. Mi she'enoi tzorich lidoig, noifel Bidavar Lashain Tsikhai Kmo, Vayishak Lara Kidoin. They're laughing at the Ra of Kidoin. Kidoin is the name of an Avodah Zarah, if I'm not mistaken. And okay, I'm not exactly sure what it means in that context, but at least we know what Rashi says. This is a very idea, interesting idea. You need not worry at the time. You need not worry about Yom HaDin. It's interesting that Yitzchak is called Tzichayk. Yitzchak is Tzichayk Asali Elokim Kol Hashma Yitzchakli. And Yitzchak comes from the word Tzichayk. Yitzchak is Midas HaDin. And Rashi is telling us Midas, he's always afraid. And yet, it's a contradiction. He's afraid, yet the whole essence of Tzichayk means he need not be afraid. It's an interesting idea how his name, the person who himself is the essence of din, of fear, Pachad Yitzchak, does not need to fear. Those two obviously go together. So how do you read that word? It oversees the person's ways. It protects him. It guides him to protect him from doing an avera. Kamu vonecha, who are the children? Her children, hatalmidim. Bala vayahalala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the husband of the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will praise the Torah. Sheker hachein, shav al kol, ho avoidas gilulim, vehevel gidulasan viyayfyan. All forms of idolatry are worthless. Anything, any ideology that is not related to Torah, even though it may seem beautiful, it's not true. Hevel sheker hachein vehevel hayofi. Tenu la la'asil lavai. The Torah will give the person, or Hashem will give the person who learns Torah la'asil lavai mipri yodecha tiferes ugedula ois pe'er umem shalah. Splendor, greatness, all different expressions of power in the time of Mashiach. Okay, so this is Rashi. Rashi is giving us a nice little summary of all these psukim to be interpreted in reference to the Torah HaKadosha, in addition to interpreting in reference to the Eishes Chayil Pshutei Kimashmo. Now I want to share with you a few midrashim before we conclude. Number one, there is a beautiful midrash that takes all of the psukim. We have 22 psukim in Eishes Chayil. 22 psukim. And the corresponding to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And the first pasuk is a general introduction. It's a general introduction. We're now going to discuss an Eish Eschal, a woman of valor. And then for the next 21 or maybe 20 psukim, we're going to give different examples from the Eishei HaTanach, specifically from women. 20 women in Tanakh who exemplified the idea, an aspect, a dimension of being in Eish Eschal. And each pasuk corresponds to a different woman. So let me just give you, run through it very quickly. We did some of them actually as we went through it, but let me just give you an example. Again, the first pasuk, this pasuk is all in the Medrash Tehillim. It's all in the Medrash Tehillim, but it's not given as one idea. There's in the article, I don't have the article with me, he quotes another sefer which puts it together in one big picture. Okay, let's go through the psukim very quickly to get an idea of what this means. Something to think about when you say Eish Eschayil. The first pasuk is introduction. The second pasuk, Batach bo le'ba'alav v'shol lo yachzar. To whom does that correspond? Sarah. Sarah Imenu. Sarah Avraham Avinu had confidence in Sarah when he told her, say that you are my sister, so that they should not kill me, they should keep me alive. And in that marriage, Vishol Lo Yechzer, Avraham received great matanos. So Pasuk Yidal refers to Sarah. Pasuk Yud Beis, the second Pasuk, the second woman, Gimolasu Toy Veloy Ro Kol Yimei Chayeha, is Rivka. The Medrash says Rivka. Now, not all of the ideas do I have down pat. He quotes, I saw in another Sefer, that is actually a whole Sefer written to explain this Medrash, to show exactly in much more detail how each Pasuk corresponds to a specific woman.
But given
no, they're not. We're going to see now. Right now, so far, Sarah, Rachel, but we're going to deviate very quickly. And some of them are not very clear. I can read you the words of the Medrash, but the words of the Medrash don't really, you're still left hanging, so what? Just because it says this in the Medrash, there has to be more. In bits and pieces, here and there, in the different from I used to prepare, I didn't before I realized that there's one big picture, every single pasuk corresponds to another woman. Some of them actually elaborate by describing the life of the woman, and they show how it really does fit the essence of that person. But just to give the Rashi Prakim of this very beautiful idea, when you say Eish Eschayil, now you can, in your your mind, you can figure out. You go through all of Sigma Yishas Chayil. Who does this respond to? Sarah. The second pasuk is Gimolasu Toy V'Loy Ra Kol Yimei Chayecha Rivka. Why is it Rivka? Because Vayivyecha Yitzah Ka'ila Sari Imo. That when Sarah, when Rivka came into the, everything that happened by Sarah came back. Gimolasu Toy V'Loy Ra. So why does that refer to Rivka? I'm not sure. I don't know. I did see someone that they tried to explain it, but I didn't really grasp what he was trying to say. But that's what the Medrash says. This is Rivka. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Darsha Tzemer Ufishtim Vatas Bechefetz Kapecha. Again, it's not clear, but the Medrash says it refers to Leah. Leah, she Chefetz Kapecha, that she convinced Yaakov to come into her tent. She went and she purchased, she traded the Dudaim from Rachel, and that way she was able to convince him. Sochor Sochartikha. And that's what it means. Vatas Bechefetz Kapecha. Through her action, she did what she wanted. She was able to persuade Yaakov Avinu to come into her tent. How does Darsha Tzemer Ufishtim fit into that picture? I do not know. But the Medrash says this refers to Leah. Pasuk Yedalid, Haisa Koniel Socher Mimerchok Tavi Tavi Lachma is Rachel. Why does this refer to Rachel? So the only reference I have here is because she was the mother of Yosef. And Yosef traveled the world. And from Yosef they brought the Yeshever B'Mitzrayim, when there was a famine. So Tavi Mimerchok Mimerchok, from the distance, they were living in Canaan. Tavi Lachma, they brought in food. In whose merit did they bring in food? Because Yosef, who was the mother of Yosef? Rachel. So Rachel is getting credit for the fact that they did not starve in Canaan. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Tesvav. Vatakam ba'od laila vatitain teref leveisa v'choyg l'narosecha. So we discussed this yesterday. This refers to Bisya. Bisya bas paro. She woke up in the middle of the night, even though she was a firstborn. She was firstborn to her mother or father, whichever one that means. And according to one medrash, even the women were subject to makas b'chayros. So she was slated to die. Yet in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, because she raised Moshe Rabbeinu, she was spared. Vatokam ba'od laila. In the middle of the night, when everyone was dying, she woke up. Because vatitin teref levesa v'chog l'narosecha, because she told the narosecha holchas al tzvas hayar, she told them the law, the chok is, we're not going to kill this baby that I'm going to retrieve from the Nile. She gave teref, she snatched the baby out of the water, she speared Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk tes zayin, zamama sodeh. Who is this? This is Yocheved. Why is this Yocheved? Because Yocheved was the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is shakel keneged the entire Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is very lavish medrash. And Klal Yisrael is compared to a vineyard. There are multiple psukim in Tanakh that compare Klal Yisrael to a vineyard. And Moshe is shakel keneged the whole Klal Yisrael. It's only in the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu the Klal Yisrael survived. Zechor, after the Egel, Zechor li Avraham li Yitzhak li Yaakov. So she was the one that was nota. She planted a kerem. She planted the vineyard. Who's the vineyard? Moshe, who is Keneged, the entire Klal Yisrael. She planned Zamos. What does it mean? She planned. I'm not sure what it means. She planned. She planned Vatikochayu, whatever this means, but at least we know, leaving with that, the Medrash says this is Yocheved. The next pasuk is Chogra v'oz masnecha vata'amet zero osecha. This refers to Miriam. Why Miriam? So the Medrash says, don't read it v'oz, but be'ez. Ez is a goat. A goat, goats, they lead the flock. They run ahead. Miriam was the one that was misnabe while they were still in Egypt. She said to her parents, she said to everyone, that my parents are going to have a child that's going to be the Moshion Shel Yisrael. She saw the Geula coming before anyone else. Like a goat. A goat goes out in the front of the herd. She went out in front of everyone. I see the Geula on the horizon. There's going to be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. So the Medrash says, and she did this, if no one believed her. People thought she was crazy. Cannot possibly be that Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach's going to come? It's going to come. And that's why she girded be'oiz mosnech v'ta'amed zroesecha. We referred to Miriam. Pasuk Yudches, to'ama ki toiv sachra, la'yichve ba'layla neira, refers to Chana. Why Chana? Chana is her merchandise. What was her? What she tasted? taste comes from the peh. This is what the Medrash says, and it refers to her tefillah. She was mispalo. And sachra, her merchandise, means the merchandise of the koyach tefillah. La yichve balayla neira. Now, I don't know the whole old psukim. I saw this in another sefer. It was when Eli, when Eli HaKoyen, when Hashem first came to Shmuel, it says that Eli was still alive. This was before the Ner was Kava. Before, there's a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel that talks about the Ner going out. The Ner of Eli was still lit before it went out. So because there's some similarity in expression of Lo Yichbe Balayla Ner that's said in Sefer Shmuel in reference to Shmuel verse Eli, and it says that expression over here, the Medrash makes that connection, it's Gezer Shava, and it says this pasuk alludes to Chana, and the Sachara, the merchandise, the Sachara is the Koyach HaTfilah, and she tasted, because Tfilah comes through the Koyach HaPeh, comes through the mouth. And unfortunately, they elaborate upon this, and they explain that since this pasuk does indeed refer to Chana and her koyach tefillah, we learn from this, incidentally, that a person has to have flavor in his tefillah. If the tefillah is mitzvahs anoshim milimuda, it's just done out of rote, it's just done lip service, that type of tefillah is meaningless. The tefillah has to have tam, has to have flavor, has to have meaning. Just like it says here, pasuk yudches, toma kitov sachra, Chana's tefillah had flavor, and Chana's tefillah is the makar for our tefillah. Pasuk Yutes, L'yodecha shulcha bakisha v'chapecha tamchu folach, we discussed at great length. This refers to Yoel. Yoel, when she killed Sisra, the general of Yavin, Sisra Yodecha Shilcha Bakishar, so she sent forth her hand, Bakishar, Dover Kosher, she did not take a weapon, she took a peg from the tent to kill, so this, her hand supported the Polech, she killed him afterwards, she whatever that means, with a tool from the wool, to the spin wool, she killed, Yosef. So the Yosef is the Kishar, right? And I'm not sure how the end of the pasuk fits into this, but this pasuk, at least in the Medrash, is interpreted in reference to Yoel. Pasuk Chafes Kapa Parsa Le'aniv Yodecha Shulcha Le'evyon. This refers to the Almana that fed Eliyahu. I'll read you the exact words of the Medrash Mishlei. Zo Ho'icha Ho'almana Mitzorfoto. From Tsarfas, that she kilkla es Eliyahu b'lechem v'mayim, she sustained Eliyahu in the years of famine with lechem and mayim, like it says in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes, hinei tzivisi sham isha almana l'chalkilecha. Hashem said to Eliyahu, do not worry, I have commanded this almana to sustain you. So she gave him food. Now we come to Pasuk of Aleph, lo siro levesa mishalek ki chol beisa levushanim. Who does this refer to? Rochav hazayin. No. She's also an Eishes Chayil after she converted, because she was not afraid of Esa. Mishalig, what was the Shalig? The Shalig was, I guess, the over here it's reference to the Gehenna, the Chorban that's going to come. I don't know why we say Shalig, but we allude to Shanim. Shanim is, they gave her a chut, they told her to be a simen outside of your window, you should spread, you shall hang out a chut hashani, and that will be the simen that we will save you and your family. So she was not afraid for herself and her family, because she knew that she had the chut hashani, and that would be her protection. Pasuk Chav Beis, Marvadim Osis Solah Sheish V'Argamon Levusha. This refers to Basheva, to Shlomo's mother. Why? What's the significance? Zo Basheva Sheyotza Mimena Shlomo, her son. That's the Melech, and the Melech wears Levush of Sheish V'Argamon. Purple robes. The only one that wore purple robes in ancient times were kings. If you're not a king, you wouldn't be caught wearing a purple robe. So it says here, Marvadim Osala, she made for a child Marvadim, bedspreads, Sheish V'Argamon Levusha. This is Basheva, who was the mother of Malchus, the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. Pasik Chav Gimel, Noda Bashanim Bala B'Shivtayim Zigni Aretz. Who is this? Michal Bashol, the wife of David. She saved David's life. How did she save David's life? Because I read the Medrash, Shehitzilas David min Hamisa, because Shaul wanted to kill David, and when Shaul wanted to kill David, so Michal ba Shaul hits. They're psukim in Shmuel. She hid him. She hid him in the house. She's not here. So the Medrash says there's a perush on this Medrash. The only reason why David was zochet to be a zokain, to live a long life, to make it through his years, his long years, is because his wife saved him. If his wife didn't save him, he would never have made it to the stage of sitting in Ziknei Aretz. He would have died prematurely. It's only in her zuchus. Pasuk Chav Dalid, Sadin Asa Sava Timkar, Vachagor Nosna Laknani. Who does this refer to? The mother of Shimshain. Why the mother of Shimshain? The Medrash says, Zo Hatzel Lifonis. That was her name. The name of Shimshon's mother was Tselphonis. What did she do? She was a merchant. She was a merchant, and she raised Aim Shimshon Agib Shachoisa Mecheres Es Maaseh Yodecha Umagadelas Es Bina Shimshon. She, that's all it says. I don't have anything more than that. That's what it says in the Medrash Milei. She saw the Nasa Vatimka. She was able to support her child. Shimshon only was who he was because his mother supported him and raised him. How did she raise him? By going out to work. Going out to work and providing parnasa, v'chagor nosna laknani. V'chagor here refers to Shimshon, who was an ish gibor. An ish gibor wears, girds himself in a belt. In a gibor wears a chagor when you go out to war. Okay, pasuk chaf hey. Oiz v'hodor levusha v'tischak liyoyim acharon. This refers to Elisheva bas Aminadav, who was the sister of Elisheva Nachshon ben Aminadav. Why does it refer to her? So first we have to understand that the Liyom Acharon, we have interpreted a few times already, in reference to the Yom Hamisa. But according to the Medrash, it refers to the last day of the Miluim. There were 8 days of the Miluim. 7 days, starting from Chav Gimel Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu would take apart and reassemble the Mishkan, Vayihi Bayoim Hashmini, and it was on the 8th day when the Mishkan was assembled, was erected for the last time, and that day that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and everyone began to offer, they brought the Karbanos. Who was the first one to bring the Karban? The Karban of the Nesim on Aleph Nisan, Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamate Yehuda. He was the first one. So that was her, that was the brother of Elisheva. Who was Elisheva's husband? Aaron. So she had two kibudim. My brother is the Nasi of Yehuda, and he is first up at bat to bring the carbon of the Nesiim. My husband is the Kohen Gadol. My two sons, Elazar and Isamar, they're serving as Skan Kohanim. They were the ones that did the Avod on that day after the tragic loss of Nadav Aviu. Elazar and Isamar, Banav Hanosarim. And the third Gedula was her brother-in-law. She had great admiration for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was the Melech. So on that day, she was the happiest woman. I mean, how could she be happy? I'm assuming that her two sons died. Is that correct? Yeah. Her two sons, none of Aviu. Were they her sons? Maybe they were someone else. They were her sons, right? They were sons. Okay, but it says here that she was in an extremely great state of simcha because four, but still, even though Vayidim doesn't mean you're happy, it means just you're quiet. But maybe it means the beginning of the day, before the tragedy, at least at that point of the day, who was the one that was taking it all in? From the Ezras Nashem, the one that had all the nachas, the woman that had the greatest nachas on that day, Chazal say, was Elisheva Bas Aminadav. Yeah.
I showed it to you 2 weeks ago in one of the Yiddish papers that all these four things that they wrote, the reason the sons died was because she got an ayin hara. And they were selling the segula for ayin hara.
Okay, we're not in the schools. Okay. Okay, so this is Pasik Chav Elisheva. Pasik Chavav. Pia Pascha B'Chachma. This is Serach Bas Osher. Now you can interpret it. This doesn't say this in the Medrash. Pia Pas B'Chachma. She was the one that was able to gently break the good news to Yaakov Avinu that Od Yosef Chai. You don't need more than that. But the Gemara also references this to the Maisa of Yoav. Yoav came to a city. He wanted who was it? He wanted. I forgot my Tanakh. He wanted a certain person in the city who was running away, and he was ready to destroy the entire city. And this Isha Chachama does not give her a name. She, I don't remember. Could be. Just Isha Chachama came out and said to her, "Why do you have to kill the whole city? Who do you want? I'll give you who you want." And they threw his head. They took the person they wanted. So she was the diplomat. She was the one that negotiated with Yoya. So she saved the whole city. In Tanakh, it does not say who this Isha Chachama was that negotiated with Yoya, the general of David, to spare the whole city from destruction. Chazal tell us it was Serach Bas Osher. That's quite a stretch. To say it was Serach Bas Osher, that means she had to be a few hundred years old. Okay.
You're forgetting the other
yeah.
that she plays, where she has the secret code words.
Pokod pokadati. So pia posk. So this is an easy one.
They
go to her. We gotta consult. Could be Yerachanami. Okay, so these are various midrashim, but the one that really hits me the most is Od Yosef Chai. She broke the good news. Pia Poscha B'Chachma, she knew how to do it. The Saras Chesed Al Shoina Serach Bas Osher. Pasich of Zayin to Sophia Lichos Besa, Velechem Atzlus Lo Sechel. Who is this? This is the wife of Ovadia. Ovadia was one of the Treyasa, one of the Nevi'im in Treyasa. We live in Haftar and Parashat Yishlach. So what did she do? Ovadia lived in a very difficult time during the time of Achav. And in the time of Achav, if you didn't worship Avodah Zarah, you were dead. Achav would kill anyone that was not an Oid of the Zarah, but she was able to spare her children from worshipping idols. I'll read you the words of the Mishlei.
That went to Elisha and said, "I have nothing in the house."
No, that was the Shunamis. I think that was the Shunamis. I'm not. It could be. I don't know. I'm not. I don't know. Possibly. I don't know. But I'll read you what it says in the Medrash. There are two Mishur Midrashim. Who is Sofia Lichos Besa? Zo e ishto shel Ovadia. The wife of Ovadia, Shetzilu Esponech, Vilei Ovdu Avodah Zorim Achav, she prevented them. Nusach Acheret, Sofia Lichos Besa, Zo e ishto Ovadia, Shehitmin, Neo Nevi'im. She was the one that hid 100 Nevi'im b'shtei Moros in two caves. Chamishim Ish b'mora Achas v'ukmo. She protected them from Achav from being killed for not worshiping Avodah Zarah. So she was a. This is that's who we refer to in this pasuk. And pasuk. What? It says in the Medrash that he was his wife. That's what it says. Don't you know what a great man I am? Don't you know? Do you know I'm a Yorei Shemayim? Don't you know I'm a Yorei Shemayim? What I have done? I would have you not heard of my great things that I have done? Are you right? I don't know the answer. I'm just quoting here, reading you a Medrash Mishlei. Everything has to be taken with a grain of salt in the Midrashim. The Midrashim are not. You know, you have to be very careful when you deal with Medrash. But that's what it says. It says here that Ishtoi Shelo Ivadia, she did two tasks. She saved these Nadim, or at least she participated, and she saved her children also as well. Kepasik Chofches, Kamu Vaneha Vayashubala Vayahalala. This is the Shunamis, the Isha Shunamis, that Elisha was Mechayim Esim, her son. This is the reading of the Medrash, Elazu Shunamis. She says, Shenikres Isha Gidoyla. She's called Shechzika Belisha Lecha Lechain Zachsa. Kamu vanecha vayashubala vayahala. Now, I don't know, this requires elaboration. It's not really clear why this pasuk should refer to the Shunamis. Why von? I guess, kamu vanecha, that's why. Kamu vanecha tchiyas ha-mesim. But she only had only one son came back to life. But it's tchiyas ha-mesim, kamu vanecha, that her child came back from the dead. How did she come back from the dead? From Elisha. So obviously this refers to the Shunamis. Now, next pasuk of test is a beautiful one. Rabbis banos osu choil viat olis al kulana. I'll discuss them more length in a moment. This refers to Rus. Boaz actually said something very similar to this to her. And the Medrash interprets this in reference to Rus. Let me read you the Medrash. Rabo Spanos Osu Choyel. Let me just find the pasuk. Okay, I don't see it here, but this is this refers to Rus. Okay, she was. Everyone call Yodea, call the Shar Ami. All the people Yodea ki Eishes Chayil Ot. That is what Boaz. So we have the connection of Eishes Chayil in reference to Rus, and that's how we apply pasuk Lamed. Now here we come to the last two psukim. Okay. This pasuk, I'm missing. This is the missing link. It must refer to your wife. It must refer to your wife. Sheker, now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The next two psukim, either they're read as one. It could be that's really what the medrash means. The next two psukim are read as one. Or maybe pasuk lamed is what the medrash says in reference to pasuk lamed aleph. And pasuk lamed aleph is just a summary. So let's learn like that. Let's learn a nice sandwich. Pasuk lamed refers to Esther Hamalka. Esther was Molechain. It says Vatisachain Deinov. Esther, even though there's a machlokes, was she beautiful? Esther Yirak Rekes Hoysa, she was green. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean that she was beautiful? She was not beautiful. Let's assume, according to the Ma'adam, that she was beautiful. So it says, see, all of that may very well be true, but that's not important in Hashem's eyes. Sheker Hachain, the Hevel Hayoifi, the mile of Esther Hamalka was Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalo. And then the last pasuk is a summary of all of the noshim mentioned in Eish Eschayil, just like the first pasuk opens up the theme of Eish Eschayil Miyim Savarach Mibrim Mechra. The last pasuk summarizes all the women. Tenula Mipri Yodeha, give this woman from the fruits of her hands. The Halleluha Bahashonim Baaseha, and may her Maaseha, her deeds, her good deeds, as we mentioned last yesterday, her children, may her children praise her in the gates. It's a summary. So this to me was worth it all to come across such a beautiful medrash, how each pasuk in Eish Eschayil refers to one of the Noshim, the Noshim in Tanakh. We have 22 psukim, and from the 22 psukim we are bringing forth 20. 20 at least, explicitly it's mentioned in the Midrash, usually 20 women. First pasuk is an introduction, last pasuk is a summary, 20 Noshim, and of course as you elaborate, if you go to each one of these psukim and you take the person and you study them in much greater detail, obviously you're going to find a lot of Ramazim, a lot of richness in understanding why we match this pasuk to a particular woman.
Obviously you left
something out. Well, we got Rachel, we have a Rachel, there was no mention of Rachel. Tzipoy, no, was the Rachel? Oh, right, that's right. Okay, Ina Chanami. Ina Chanami. You go through Tanakh, take out the Ishe Tanakh, that book, Ishe Tanakh. Yeah, there are hundreds of Nashim. Ina Chanami, this is what it says. Ina Chanami, this is what it says. Now, another amazing thing I came across, you know, it's not fair. You come Friday night, you say Ishe Schael. What about the men? Don't the men deserve some praise? How come? It's not fair. So when the men are saying Eish Eschayil, don't you think the women should be saying something nice about their husbands? Come on. It's not fair. So the truth is, the same Medrash Mishlei, this is an amazing idea, the same Medrash Mishlei that tells us that each one of these psukim corresponds to 20 noble women, there is a male version of Eish Eschayil. Are you aware of this? It's in Mizmar Kuf Yud Beis in Tehillim. Never knew this. Yud Tehillim, Kuf Yud Beis. It seems very short. How are you going to fit 22 psukim? But each pasuk has two letters. Mizmar Kuf Yud Beis. I'll read a few psukim. Hallelujah. Ashrei, okay, Aleph, Ashrei, Ish, Yoreas Hashem. Then, Beis, B'mitzvoysav, Chafetz Me'oid. That's already 2 miles. Next pasuk. Gimel. Gibor Ba'aretz Yihyeh Zaroi. His children will be mighty ones in the earth. And then it says Dor Dalad Yisharim Yivarach. Next pasuk. Hey. Hoin Va'oysher Biveso V'tzidka Soivav Amedes Tuan. And go to the whole Mizmar. It goes through what? So the men, maybe I can learn Tehillim to see who the men are. But it opens up a whole new world. a whole new world. That ze l'uma ze bara Elokim. Tell the women, watch out. Okay, no, nowhere does it say, I didn't come across any makar that men should say. We have to go look at the midrashim on this mizmar and tell them and see what it says there. But nowhere do we find in any siddur that the women should say mizmar kuf yud beis. But it's something very interesting to take note of, is that there's a parallel. And that, you know, I was trying to, maybe you go look at each pasuk, you try to match up eish chal meyimsa, there's some connection to the words Ashrei ish yoreyes Hashem, like, you know, it's like a zivuk. I couldn't find any connection. You maybe want to work backwards, but it does open up a whole new world when you now are aware of the parallel between the two. And maybe we're referring to specific people, 20 people in this pasuk as well, 22 people, who knows? It's a very interesting idea, something to be aware of. Where does that idea come from?
That particular chapter...
I don't know anything more than this. It's a mizmah, the end of Tehillim, almost the end, it's towards the end, mizmah kuf yud beis.
But who says that's the parallel?
What? The Medrash Mishlei. The Medrash Mishlei, the same Medrash that says all these 20 psukim refer to 20 different women,
yeah.
That very same Medrash says, by the way, go check out Tehillim kuf yud beis, that's where the men are. That's the parallel.
Maybe Mishlei is the counterpart to Tehillim. David wrote Tehillim. So maybe he explained to Shlomo, so Shlomo wrote it to counteract
Anasha. Came later.
Experience with women, Shlomo. So he was answering David, his father.
David had experience with men?
That's all 18
is nothing.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so this is a nice, very powerful idea. Okay, now there. Before we conclude, I want to tell you of a few other short... The mitzvot. We did the mitzvot. We did every mitzvot. We did.
There's a whole long mitzvot started.
There is.
Yeah.
It starts again from Eishes Chayim.
Right.
It does.
Yeah,
we didn't do that yet. Oh, I didn't realize this. Okay, so we're going to have to do this tomorrow. I didn't prepare this. So we're going to have to do this tomorrow then. We're going to have to do it one more day. I have a few more things I want to show you. Okay, we'll have to extend it tomorrow then and do this. But I want to just tell you a few more things that I prepared for today. Okay, number another important idea. There's a beautiful gra. This gra is a classic gra. And on Eishes Chayil, so you sowed. There are two popular ideas from the Gra, but the one that is quoted often is in the first pasuk of Eishes Chayil, the Yimsav Berachot Mivnim Nichra. Pasuk begins. Give me one moment. The Gra's learning that the entire Eish Yisrael is a marshal for the Torah. And his question is, we're describing here various midos, good qualities. Good qualities? What are you going to Eish Yisrael? Go to Pirkei Avos. Okay, there are six long parakim, describes numerous milos in good qualities of a person in Pirkei Avos. Eish Yisrael, you just have a few. What's going on? So he explains the difference is a person who is a true Talmud Chacham, and I emphasize, underline, put in bold the word true. It's hard today to find the real deal, but a person that's fully immersed in Torah, Batach Bolev Bala. The Bala here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's assume it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bala, the husband, as we mentioned in the Rashi, the husband of the Torah. Rashi says, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't need to open up a Pirkei Avos and start checking off, are you an Anav? Are you patient? Are you able to control your anger? Are you a Mavel Midoysav? Are you generous? Hashem does not need to go and check off all the various long, long list of Midos. If you're a Ben Torah, it's automatic. It's a catch-all. The koyach, the kedusha of being a true Talmud Chacham, and a true Talmud Chacham will automatically change, transform a person to have everything. Botach bo lebala. Eish eschal miyim savarach mebnim mimichra, a woman, a person who is a Talmud Chacham, has found the Torah, and has this value is much more than anything that any of the most valuable item in this world, Hashem says, I'm not giving you a test. I'm not going to go learn with you Pirkei Avos. You don't need to learn Musar. You don't need to learn Musar. You don't need to open a Sil Shisharim. You don't need to open a Chavis HaLavavis because Batach Bo Lev Ba'ala. Hashem has confidence, you'll have all the milas. It's only the person that's not a true Talmud Chacham. Not everyone is cut out for it. Not everyone is cut out to immerse himself in Yoimon Velayla in Amelis Matara. So then, you have to work on your Midos. Then you gotta go to Pirkei Avos, and you gotta work your Kas. Okay, I'm not a Baal Kasan. I've worked on myself. But just because you passed the test of Kas does not mean you're a generous person. Does not mean you're Mavre'al Midah Yisav. Does not mean you're humble. Each Midah stands alone. Each Midah, we can't trust you. You may have perfected a particular Midah, but all the other Midahs still require work, require perfection. But if you are Talmud Chacham, what this parak is all about, Batach Bo Leibala Yigadol. These are the holy words of the Gra in his introduction to this parak of Eishes Chal. There's another famous Vav that everyone still says that, I've just never mentioned it yet, is that if we say that this parak refers to Torah, why is it called Eishes Chayil? Chayil is Bigamatria 48. The last parak of Pirkei Avos, Mem Ches Dvarim, is the Torah acquired. There are 48 things, midos, that a person needs to acquire Torah. Eishes Chayil, a person has to have all 48. That's especially that's used during Yana Diyoma, during Sfiras Ayomer. Sfiras Ayomer, there are 49 days. The first 48 is to work on one particular midah, and day 49 is to chazer, is to bring them all together. That's all alluded to in the idea of Chayil. Okay. It says here in the beginning of the Zavart from the Nefesh HaChayim, the Nefesh HaChayim, the Chayim of Volozhin, he says that when it says to Kol Yimei Chayecha, Eish Batach Bo Leibala, B'Shol Lo Yechzor, Givlas Toi V'Lo Yro, what does it mean, Kol Yimei Chayecha? If we understand that Eish Eschal refers to Torah, we have the principle that Torah is Megin, protects the person even when he's not learning, even when he's not doing mitzvahs. This is the difference, the Gemara says, between a mitzvah and Torah. A mitzvah only protects the person while he is doing the mitzvah. But once he stops doing the mitzvah, then there's no longer any shmirah. The koach of learning Torah is greater. Not only does it protect him while he's learning Torah, it even protects him when he's not learning Torah, as long as there's a lingering effect from the koach HaTorah. So being that we interpret this entire mizmar in reference, entire perek, in reference to the Torah, Talmud Torah, that's why it says, Gimolasu toy v'loy ra, the Torah will protect you. It will reward you. Toy v'loy ra, kol yimei chayecha. There's no person that's able to be oisik in Torah every single day, every single moment. But yet, kol yimei chayecha, a person is protected through the koach and the kedusha of Torah. What? Is there
a... That's what I learned today, and I don't understand the terrible step.
I don't know the answer. It's a lingering effect. As long as you still feel connected. As long as you still feel connected. Okay, I saw a interesting Rosh Tevos. We mentioned yesterday in Pasuk Chafav, Lo Siro Levesa Mishole, Ki Chol Veso Lovu Shonim. This woman is not afraid of the snow. The pshat we learned yesterday is that she's not afraid of the cold winter. She has prepared in advance. She has for her children warm clothing, quilts, and dark clothing that will shelter them from the cold, bitter winter. The Medrash says that the Zuchus of Torah protects the person from Gehenim. Gehenim? Gehenim we assume is hot. So here we are introduced to a new idea. There are two Gehenims. There's a hot Gehenim and a cold Gehenim. And in fact, the Gehenim is, you don't get used to one thing, you have to switch between hot and cold. Some say no, there's no such thing as a cold Gehenim. Gehenim is only hot. But Sheleg, there are different types of hot. For when you kasher your kelim on Pesach, how do you kasher? There are three different ways to kasher. There are some things that you don't need to do anything, you just have to rinse it. Shetifa. If you use a utensil only for cold items, you have glass cups, and you never use it for something hot, what do you have to do to kasher it? Shtifa, just rinse it. Just clean it from the crumbs, any residue. Shtifa. Then there are times when you need to do hagolah, when you need to take boiling gil is, we could say hagala, but the sherish is gil. You have to purge it with boiling hot water. Boiling hot water, you wouldn't want to be caught someone kashering you with boiling hot water. And then the ultimate is when you actually use the oven, the surface, you have to do limon. So there are three types of gehenim. For the people that are not so bad, they just need shtifa. Shtifa. They just have to rinse and they come to Ilam MS. Alright, you need a little polishing off. They take you into the gehenim, they just do a little shtifa. And then there are some people that need gil. When we call a gil, the sharish, we say the word hagala, but the sharish is gil. They have to take some boiling hot water, and they have to be immersed in boiling hot water to purge them from their sins. And then there are some real troublemakers that need limon. They have to be torched. So sheleg is rashi tevois, shetifa, limon, and gil, the three different types of gehenim. Whoever told you there's a hot gehenim? There's no hot gehenim. There's only a cold gehenim. There's only a hot gehenim. But there are three different types of gehenim. So therefore, she's not afraid of this because she prepared in advance. Yeah?
A person who doesn't know, he doesn't.
Yeah?
All you need to do to him is wash him off and make him a person who is. On the other extreme, who's very, very into all Kedusha, but he's burnt in with his ideology, if he has sinner for the other people, it's a Shem Shemayim sinner. Then you can't change his ideology, that means you got to do legal to get him to become a bunch.
You got to do Liban on him. Okay, okay. Okay. All right. Let me give you another idea. Rabbis bonos osu choyl viat olis al kulana. It's a beautiful medrash. The medrash compares 3/4 generations of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. It's a very interesting idea to delve into what this medrash means. There are many generations that, again, we're referring over here to Torah, according to Rashi, the generation of Torah. The first generation to receive Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu. The generation of Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. The second generation that actually practiced the Torah and with a higher madrega was Yeshua. Why was Yeshua's generation better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Very simple. Mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu, when they learned umakabel the Torah, they were in Golos. They were in the Midbar. They were in Chutz Li'aretz. Yeshua! It was a different madrega of Talmud Torah because it's mamish gadol limud shemi levi lidei maisa masuke shmeitz aliba de hilchasa. They learn Torah in the kedusha saaretz. Let's fast forward. The third generation is the generation of Chizkiyahu Hamelach. Chizkiyahu Hamelach, who's not tzcheref on the Pesach of the Beis Medrash, call me shelo yasek baTorah yidoker bacheref. Anyone that does not enter the Beis Medrash to study Torah shall be stabbed to death. In his generation, Chazal give that as a generation of the extreme of where Klal Yisrael excelled in Torah. He Chizkiyahu HaMelech is always attributed with Ahavas HaTorah. There's no generation that reached the Madrega of Torah like, even more than Yeshua. Surely more than Moshe, because they didn't have mitzvahs, least words. More than Yeshua. Yeshua, they were busy. Why not? Because they were busy in his generation with kibush v'chiluk. They were busy. They had the Torah. But they were busy fighting and dividing the land. They were busy settling into the land. So they were learning half a day. They were learning in Kailo. And the other half a day, they were carpenters. They were warriors. They were soldiers. And selling the land. So, but Chizkiyahu HaMelech, they sat and they learned Torah Lishma. All of that is referred to in the Medrash where it says, Rabbois, Banos, Osu Choyel. There have been many generations, specifically those three, where they have done great things, accomplished great things in Talmud Torah. But there is one generation that's unique, Olis Al Kulono. And who is that? The generation of, oh no, I can't find it here. The generation of, oh no, where to go? Where six Talmidim, they lived in abject poverty. They lived in abject poverty. One moment, please. Where did it go? Here it is. I got it. Got it. Baruch Hashem. Zedoro Shel Rebbe Yoshua Berebi Eli. What was true in his generation? They lived in abject poverty. They learned Torah l'shem shemayim in poverty. Amru Olav al Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi shayu shisha talmidim miskasin b'talis achas v'oiskim b'Torah. So it's one thing to learn Torah l'shma like a chizkiyah when you have parnasa, but when you have nothing what to eat and you still learn Torah l'shma, that is, there's nothing like that. The at olis al kulana, that is the ultimate form of Talmud Torah. Okay, now let's just jump ahead to Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed speaks about Sheker Achein Vehevel Yifyut Shayiras Hashem Hi Tesalot Saisu, an amazing idea. Coming up Nogia Yoni on the Yoma in my one of my the favorite Sfarim that I use to prepare here all the time, Divrei Seferim, Divrei Chachamim. When did they say this pasuk? This pasuk was a popular song way before Mordechai ben David. We all know the Gemara, the Mishnah says that in Mishnah Masechta Tainis that 2 days a year were devoted to Shidduchim. What were the 2 days of the year? Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, Shebohem, Binos, Yisrael, Yotzos, Bekramim. They went out to the vineyards, and every girl borrowed clothing. No one went to Saks to buy a dress. You borrowed what your neighbor has, white garments, and they went dancing. They danced, and the boys came to watch. The boys came to watch them dance, and the boys would pick girls, and the girls would tell the boys. Every girl had something, a different message. But the girls would say, one of the things that the girls would say is, don't look for beauty, don't look for chayin, look for ein isha el labanim, ein isha el mishpacha. So the Medrash says they would actually say this pasuk. They would sing this pasuk. Sheker hachein vehevel hayoyfi isha yiras Hashem hi tisalol. That's what they would think. Now, all the Mepharshim ask the obvious kasha, Kibish Loima, we could understand on Tu B'Av. Okay, Shabbos Nachamu, big singles event. Okay? You go to Grossinger's. The Pioneer. Where do you go today? You go to Liberty Lanes. Mitzoy Shabbos Parashas Nachamu. I don't know where you go. You go to wherever you go, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not up to date. Wherever you go, you go. It's a big... In Woodburn, wherever you go, it's a big singles event. I understand. Tu B'Av is right after Tisha B'Av. Yom HaKippurim, Hayitochen, Yom HaKippurim, Kedusha V'Tahara. That's the day when during the break, before Ne'ilah, the girls go out to the vineyard and they start dancing and the boys come out to go look for a Shidduch. Hayitochen, it's a Dover Pella Ad Me'od. How could it possibly be? This is something that's so foreign from us. How can this possibly be? So all of the commentators struggle with this idea, this concept. The answer that I've seen people give, and it's a pretty obvious answer, is Adarabah. And the Adarabah that fits into this pasuk is, when you go out with a girl, when a boy looks to marry a girl, there are many distractions of what is not important. There's yoifi, there is chayin, there's money, there is kavod, there are all these mishagasim, there are many distractions. And these, you make a mistake, it's a mu'uvish she'eni yochel liskon. You marry the wrong person, you're in trouble, that's it, there's no way out. So when is a person, from all the days of the year, when does he have his head screwed on straight to be able to make a proper decision? It's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day where you're immersed after 40 days of Hachana, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Yemei Tshuva. It's the time when a person is in the right frame of mind that the only thing that really counts is Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalo. In order not to be persuaded by Achein Hevel Hayofi, when is the day when a person will be in the right frame of mind? You want to have Isha Yiras Hashem. It's Bidafka on Yom Kippur. No other day. And now that forces us, this is very important, to understand the significance of Tu B'Av. Why Tu B'Av? Because Tu B'Av is the end of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av really lingers also. The Tuba of Tisha B'Av, just like I'll give you an example. Why is Sukkot called Yom HaRishon? It's not Yom HaRishon, it's the 15th day of Tishrei. The answer is because Yom Kippur was the 10th day of Tishrei. It takes a couple of days to lose the effect, the lingering effect of the Kedusha of, you can't do an Aveir, Yom HaRishon, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avaynos. For the first 4 days, it's just not possible. A person who has a real Yom HaKippurim, it's not possible for you to think about doing an Aveir for 4 days. And that's why Sukkot is B'Yom HaRishon, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avaynos. It's the same thing Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day. Now you have to understand, this Gemara was the Mishnah is going during Mizman Shabbos, and the Shoyakayim. But it's not necessarily a Kasha because it was during the Bayis Sheni. And the Bayis Sheni, they still were suffering the after effects of the Chum Bayis Rishon. So Tisha B'Av, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, according to one opinion, they also observed there's a Tainus. So the lingering effect, the lingering effect of Tisha B'Av changes, causes a person to have a different perspective, a different frame of mind of what is important. And you can't go look for Shidduchim on Tisha B'Av. That's not the proper day. So the first time when you exit from the morning to enter into Shidduchim will be the day after, the day when the Tkufa of Avelus ends. When does the Tkufa of Avelus end? Tu B'Av is the Baron. So therefore these two ideas go to the, just like the women over here are singing this pasuk Sheker Hachain, the Hevel Hayof Isha Yiras Hashem Ki Tisalal. We now understand why specifically Yom Kippur is the day when, that's the day when a person has his head screwed on straight, the Yir HaShemayim. And for the same reason, when a person focuses on the Churban Beis HaMikdash on Golos, it changes his frame of mind. And then when he enters into Shidduchim looking for a Zivug, he's looking into a Zivug with a different frame of mind of Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalo. So that's one idea. Then he goes on to say, he says an incredible Chiddush, just a shocking Chiddush. He says there's a Torus Hadfus. The original Girsa of the Gemara was, there's Rosh Tevos. Shebetube of U beis hay. It's like the Shem and Sinem Halacha we learn. When there's one Shem and Sinem Halacha, every beis is a chaf. Every chaf is a beis. Every dalit is a resh. Every resh is a dalit. It said U beis hay beis, not chaf. Now, what is it? If it would be a chaf, what would it stand for? Uviyoyim Hakipurim. But if it would be a beis, what would it stand for? Uviyoyim Habikurim. When did Shidduchim take place in the Kramim? Shavuos coming up. Shavuos. When was the beginning of the shidduch season? Shavuos. When is the end of the shidduch season? Tu B'Av. Because from Shavuos until Tu B'Av is the harvest. Is the harvest time. That's when the vineyards are open for business. That's when the vineyards are beautiful. It's a place where you can go out and you can have a dance. What? Shidduchim. So this opens up a whole new world. I'm not going there, but this Inachlam Rus is about Shidduchim, not necessarily Boaz and Rus. Okay, but it opens up a whole new world in understanding this Maamar Chazal. Shabohem Hanoshim, which days? It's not Yom HaKippurim, because go back to the original Kasha. Yom HaKippurim is that the time when you're going to go look for Shidduchim. That's not the time you look for Shidduchim. Yom Kippur in the original question, but no, in Inachlam it's not Yom Kippur. It's Shavuos. Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah. It's the day, the zivug between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chad. There are many midrash that tell us, many of them in the Hagen that we do at a wedding. We walk down with our candles. We go around the Kala seven times. A lot of these things come from Matan Torah. There's a lot of Torah showing the various minhagim that are done by a wedding all come from Matan Torah. Matan Torah was the nisuin, was the marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's even a ksuba. There's some people are meaning to read a ksuba on Shavuos. There's a ksuba that's the ksuba between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So since the wedding, and by Hasidim, what's the din of the mitzvah? There's an din of a mitzvah tanz. Hasidim are very into weddings. We're also into weddings. Ashkenazim are into weddings. Why? Because a wedding is a dogma between the marriage between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, how did that come through the Koyach of Torah? Therefore, it makes perfectly logical sense. The whole thing, the whole Gemara changes. It's a whole new Gemara.
He says this because the Rosh Hashanah is then changing.
He quotes the Divrei Chachamim, quotes a Sefer. He quotes the Sefer. I don't have it with me. I couldn't, because I went away today to a Simcha, so I couldn't bring all my son with me today. He quotes a Sefer that he saw this Chiddush, that is a Tos Hadfus. It's Poshet. It was really, it says Yom HaBikurim, not Yom HaKippurim, and therefore it just, and therefore it means Shavuos, and the last day of the Chiddush was Tu B'Av, and we're sandwiching everything in between. It opens up an entirely a whole new world to understand the idea, the ideal time for Shidduchim and Zivugin. Okay, so now before we can conclude, so what we're going to do is, I really thought I would conclude today, but I didn't realize, Rabbi Nechemiah corrected me, I didn't realize we have a whole new section here of Metzudas David, so we're going to have to go do this tomorrow. Also, I want to share with you tomorrow, I went online yesterday and I typed in Eishes, I went to HebrewBooks.org, they have all these old Svarim, I found 4 Svarim on Eishes Chayil, just a little, couldn't trace them, just on Eishes Chayil. 3 of them are so old that the print is from 100 years ago. I can't read it. I can't. It'll take me forever to go through one. But I found one save that was printed, I think, in 1938. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. His wife was a Nifter. He wrote a kuntres. He wrote a hesped, a very, very long hesped on his wife, and he wrote a kuntres on Eishes Chayil. His name is Ferber. Tzvi Hirsch Ferber. Where did he live? I don't know. I don't know where he lived. It's from Europe, I think, in Europe, and it's fantastic. It's just. I says things here that you don't see anywhere else. Doesn't, not in the art school, not in the midrashim. So I want to share with you. I thought I would have time today. No, what?
No, he was Jewish.
he has here some beautiful ideas, some short ideas, and I thought I would say them over today to conclude. But since anyway, we have to do a little more tomorrow, so I'll save this for tomorrow. So tomorrow again we'll learn. I already got four. I have the other ones are coming in today. And Yirtzeh, I guess we'll start on Monday. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, on Monday we will begin Rus.
Before you make the scene, yeah, this, we should learn Kuf Yud Beis.
We should learn. We'll bring in a guest woman speaker to give a drasha on Kuf Yud Beis.
Can you tell us about the bris?
The bris. Okay, so let's stop now.